So today you're going to talk about the road to Emmaus. It was funny, I just drove back from Richmond to be here today, and darn if I didn't come to an intersection that was called Emmaus Street. I thought, daggone. But today, because we have this opportunity to continue the earthly journey of Jesus by telling the story of his appearance to the two people that were walking down the road to Emmaus. Now remember, they were in Jerusalem, you know, celebrating Passover, and they were walking home. But before I do this, I really want to set up some of the older scriptures that talk about the idea of the coming of someone into the world that was going to change the world for the people at that time. So in Deuteronomy, it says, Moses declares, Jehovah thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. Now that was in Deuteronomy. In Isaiah, it says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, that they dwell in the land of the shadow of death, and upon them hath the light shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. That sound familiar? Then we hear Isaiah say a little later, because he says that the kingdom of the Messiah was not just for humans, that the kingdom was for all creatures. And the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in the holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of knowledge of Jehovah as the waters cover the sea. So for decades, people waited for this Messiah to come. They were told way back when, it's coming, somebody's coming. And then it was Jesus, Yeshua. Finally, the predictions were coming true. And the only thing is the people at the time were not thinking of a person that was going to come and create the kingdom of heaven, but the kingdom of on earth. So they were confused. Like, you were supposed to conquer the Romans. Our lives were supposed to be better. Peace was supposed to be in the land. And what happened? Oh my gosh, they're carrying him off to crucify him and punish him for what he was telling people about. Can you imagine their confusion? Can you imagine their frustration? Can you imagine their fear? The uncertainty of knowing, why is he being put to death? This is our guy. So on the road to Emmaus, you see these two people are talking about what had gone on. And they did not see Jesus when he walked up to them. And I want you to think about, I'm going to actually read the passage from the Bible because I think it's so beautiful. But think about this. Could this be a story of faith? Could it possibly be the story about one of what we call one of our 12 powers, faith? Let's see if you see any connection with the story of Emmaus and the idea of faith. Faith in your life, faith in my life. So sit back and relax and imagine you're like a little kid at your mother's knee, or maybe lying in bed at night, and your mom's telling you a story. And it goes like this. Now that same day, two of them were going to the village called Emmaus. It was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they just didn't recognize him. So he asked them, well, what are you all discussing as you're walking together? Oh, can you imagine? Their faces downcast, and one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things? About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And the chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death and crucified. But we had hope that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all of this took place. And in addition, some of the women were amazed. They went to the tomb this early morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see Jesus. So Jesus says to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning him." So as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going to go further. They urged him to stay and spend the evening with them, because the day is almost over. So he went in and stayed with them. And when he was at the table, and he took the bread and he gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he disappeared out of sight. And they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us?" And then, of course, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and there they found the 11 and those who were assembled there, and they said, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." And then the two told what had happened on their way and how Jesus was recognized when he broke the bread. So what do you think? How does that story land for you? You know, in Unity, we always look at things metaphysically. Like, how does this story apply to me? It happened a very long time ago. And does this have anything to do with faith? I would imagine that when all of this was happening to Jesus, the faith that the disciples had and his followers would have been, "I don't believe anything that's going on here. I don't understand it, and I don't believe it, and I'm confused, and I'm frustrated, and I'm saddened, and I'm angry, and I'm fearful." I mean, remember the disciples, I mean, they basically all went and hid because they figured the Romans were going to start looking for them. Have you ever felt that way in your life? When you were so confused and saddened and surprised by something that happened that you thought would never happen, right? And how do you deal with it? How will you deal with that in your life? If we look at the story as an example of faith, let us talk a little bit about what faith means as Unity describes it. It says that faith is realized as a deep inner knowing that all we need or seek is already ours for the taking. I bet you've heard that before, somewhere in a class, in this very building, you know? Faith is also the perceiving power of our mind, which shapes spiritual substance according to our innermost desires. And another definition says, it's a spiritual assurance that we possess the power to do the seeming impossible. Now that is powerful. That is describing faith. How do we feel within ourselves about the world and what is going on? The disciples did not know what was going to happen to them. They had been following this man for 3 years. What's going to happen next in their life? And so this fear would be a place that they could have applied their faith and said, "Wait a minute. We heard these things. We don't just believe them, but we know who this man was. We know that he came here to give us a message that needs to be continued long past the time that he will be gone. And who is going to do it?" They would, right? They were. But they had to have the faith to do it, so they weren't afraid. Look how many persecutions went on after Jesus died and others went out to preach his word. I mean, look at Paul. Paul was a perfect one. I mean, Paul was after the Christians saying, we're getting them. You know, we gotta shut these people down. And yet their faith in knowing that what was taught and that presence and power of Jesus in their life said, no, no, no. This might be difficult, but this is up to you to do. Right? So how about in our life when we're shocked about something, when we feel like we're at wit's end, what are we going to do? Do we not get some sort of information within ourselves with that Spirit of God talking to us, giving us answers, giving us challenges to go out and do something to bless this world? I love that idea of that being used for faith. And I imagine how in our own lives, do we ever hear that beautiful voice within inside of us saying that we are not ever alone, just like Jesus walked with the two disciples. We are never alone. We can feel like we're alone. We can feel like we are the only, and I had that period in my life when I felt that way. It was me against the world. And then I learned about unity, and I thought, no, it's not. I am one with an infinite power and presence that we call God, Spirit, Divine, whatever word you want to use. But have you ever heard, when you're in that space, something say to you, do not fear. I am with you. Do not be afraid. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will also help you. Have you ever heard that when things were going awry in your life? Because that's what the disciples were hearing. Do not be afraid. Jesus may be gone, and he did stay with them for days after that, but now it's up to you to take the message out. They knew what Jesus taught. They knew it was important. They knew he was bringing light into a dark world. And faith allows us to find that place in consciousness. When we go to that place to find our strength, to find that still small voice speaking to us, we will be restored to the power of love and life and truth springing freely through us. Lifts us into a consciousness so that we can feel and know and touch the divine. We always have that beautiful picture of Jesus walking with us, the Christ presence walking with us, always there, even in the darkest of times. Faith is a force that has a fantastic attracting power, a huge magnet, which will attract to us whatever we invest our faith with. Now think about it. We use faith all the time, just on an average day, right? I live on the 17th floor of a building. Every time I get in that elevator, I have faith that that thing is going to take me up to the 17th floor. Now, that's kind of on just a worldly way, right? But can I have that faith of knowing that what I need will be not just restored to me, but offered to me, given to me, created in me, that I don't have to worry, that I know I will make it to the 17th floor? Elizabeth Santurner, one of the early writers in Unity, says, faith is this inner assurance that what we desire already exists in the invisible realm of spirit. And I know you've heard that. And as we exercise our faith, we bring it into being. So think about that. What are you thinking about? What are you saying? How do you speak? Where is that faith in the invisible realm that has everything there waiting for us? Whatever we want. Can I get out? Amen. Love it. I love it. So then we say to ourselves, I was telling Ed about this. I said, you all remember Laura Barrett Bennett, right? She was here for years, you know, before Paula came. And she did this little song. It was called, God's Got Your Back, God's Got Your Back, God's Got Your... And it was like a whole little song that she did. The only thing I remember, I don't remember all the words, but, you know, whenever you're feeling like, I'm the only one, I need help, I'm lost, I'm not sure what to do next, just say that, God's got my back. and have faith in that. Know that for sure. And faith is a little different than just belief. You know, well, I believe that. No, faith is deep, and it says, no matter what, this is it. God has got my back. I know it. No matter what's going on in my life. I love that. I love that idea. I love that feeling that way. So let's say if you wanted to activate faith in your life more deep. These are some of the things that you could do. Whenever you feel fear, frustration, or negativity of any kind, affirm, I have faith in God, Spirit, whatever word you use, I have faith in that. Speak the words out loud with authority, right? You're tapping in to that faith source because God's got your back. Our spoken words act as commands to our mind to activate our faith and say it several times. Watch what you're thinking. Watch your thoughts. Whatever you think about, we are directing our faith towards because we're believing it's out there. I don't have it yet. I don't see it yet, but I know it's out there and I can get to it. And so watch what your thoughts are. Watch what you're saying. And then prayer and meditation. Take time every day to center yourself in God's presence in your life. This allows that faith to grow and build, almost like that little garden that we talked about in the Daily Word. But you got to nurture it, right? You got to nurture it. You got to talk about faith. What do I believe? Do I believe God's got my back? Or am I out there just out there in the world on my own? I guarantee God's got your back. I guarantee it. Right thinking, never saying this is not possible. Right words, I am able to do this task with ease. And right actions, I am at peace in whatever I do today. Thus, I can be gracious in all circumstances. And I always think about that with driving, because I think that's... oh, jeez. You know what? When you get in your car and sit in your seat, you know, say that. I am at peace as I drive today, and I will be gracious to other drivers, too. Yeah. That's very practical, isn't it? All right. Well, let's just take a breath. I hope, you know, as this walk to Emmaus, like I said, we're walking with the Spirit of God constantly in our lives. And God's got our back, just like he had the back of everybody that has traveled this journey together. And I want to kind of do our prayer, our meditation time with the prayer of faith. Now, this is the prayer that Myrtle Fillmore, our co-founder, spoke. So I'm want to use these words as just a little place to move us into that place of meditation. So just take a deep breath and relax in your seat. God is my help in every need. God does my every hunger feed. God walks beside me and guides my way through every moment of this day. I now am wise, I now am true, patient and kind and loving too. All things I am, can do and be through Christ, the truth that is in me. God is my health. I can't be sick. God is my strength, unfailing quick. God is my all. I know no fear. Since God and love and truth are here. Allow that prayer of faith to just resonate within you for a few moments. In the silence. A beautiful song to sing as we come out of this quiet space. So just whenever you're ready, Take another breath and just open your eyes just very gently and look around this room at this beautiful space that is here for you every single solitary Sunday.
Expression of your unfolding peace. Show, Spirit, show.